Reading from the Madhya Leela, chapter 24, text 47. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Advaita Balaye Prabhu Purve Arjanere Yaha Dekaile Tahe Icha Badakare. Advaita replied, I have a strong desire to see the form that you previously displayed to Arjuna. Omagana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sva Padantikam Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivas Adi Ghor Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from upstate New York. I had a nice little tour. I went to the Revals, my doctors, but not the medical thing, to meet some people, and then came up. And then yesterday, we were kind of moving around here in the local area. I was showing those people who, I think I told some of you that there's some people I know from Vrindavan who are buying, have bought, they're just, I think just do a few things, 55 acres in upstate New York. So it was great. They showed me a little video that they did with Zoom. It seems like a very nice place. But as Chanakya Pandit said, traveling makes a man old. I always remember what one Ayurvedic doctor told me once. He said that Ayurveda says if you move faster than a bullock cart, it blows out the fire of digestion. It seemed to have increased mine, though, substantially. So anyway, let's discuss today. I'm just trying to, let me just get the, one second to play. Okay. Well, as usual, in this Chaitanya Bhagavat, there was a description of the ecstatic kirtan, complete absorption. I wrote an article once called Yoga Made Easy by Music, and it was based on a letter that Prabhupada wrote when he first came to America, and he was, I think, asking for a donation from some Indian businessman, and he was just saying that what he'll teach the people in the West is yoga made easy by music. And that really struck me. I used that as kind of a mantra when I would preach in the yoga world to describe what is yoga. And the efficacy of a particular practice of yoga is the degree that it facilitates one's absorption. That's called meditation. And I described, you know, in so many ways, kirtan. First of all, bhakti, yoginam api sarvesham madgitena taratmanam shradhavam bhajate yomam sameyuktam. Of all yogis, one who worships me with faith and devotion is the highest of all, because our absorption is more when it's connected with emotion than it's connected just with intellect. So bhakti, besides the focus, it also has the most consummate emotion, which is devotion, and the highest devotion, which is love of Godhead. And also the object of meditation, unlike any other yogic processes, is not just a prop. It's a person who is all powerful and therefore reciprocates with our desire to worship by that absorption. It reciprocates by facilitating that worship and reciprocating with us in ways that we can achieve a higher level of meditation than what we could by our own effort. And therefore, bhakti is called the path of grace. That's just bhakti meditation. But then when you put the music to it, you add the elements of rag and tal. So bhakti is ultimately, the ultimate meditation in bhakti is your attachment to the object of meditation, which we have a relationship with. It's not just, not only can reciprocate with us, but we have a relationship with it. So now we have that factor. But rag and tal, many of you know Satya Hari, the Irish Vaishnav yogi bhajan, he wrote this wonderful article for the Vaishnav Journal. It was very scholarly, describing the elements of Sikh kirtan, but he described basic principles. And one of the principles is that rag and tal are connected to very deep places in the psyche that happen to amplify emotion. So if it's devotion and you amplify the emotion, you amplify the absorption. And then the other factor is when it's not just kirtan, but it's sankirtan, when it's done with others, then there's this extra factor of kind of rasa, that with a community experience, it gives you a facility to transcend the limited concept of I. Of course, we're individuals, but the limited concept of I is that I am the center. And the evolved sense of I is that I am part of the center. And therefore, just by group activity that give common experience with the right consciousness, then it's an extra facility to transcend the limited concept of I, which is the false ego. I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, I am the center, which is the obstacle to meditation. So when you're having these kirtans, I'll say in the common vernacular, it's no joke. You have these kirtans, and it's the right rag, it's the right tal, It's community, it's united with people who are sattvic and pure and devoted, then it becomes a very, very high level of absorption. And that's what we just saw. Somehow or other, Lord Chaitanya sees that there's a desire of Advaita Acharya. Bhaktavataram. He's the avatar who became a devotee. Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakti Shaktitam. He is the avatar that became a devotee, but he's a devotee. And he has this desire, and he wants to see God's opulences. God has two supremacies, Madhurya and Aishwarya. Madhurya is the supremacy of his personality or love, and Aishwarya is the supremacy of his personality, of his opulence or power. That's also very, very inspiring for a devotee, because looked at in the right way, it can evoke humility. The happiness that there is something greater than myself that I should serve. I coined that phrase, happy small. One time, Janavi Harrison, Janavi Jivana, she wrote me that she used that in an interview she had on the BBC, happy small. And my personal realization was that when I took a group of devotees to do kirtan and distribute books up to the Himalayas, and it was an amazing experience. As you're going up, there's these little villages, and you get out and you do kirtan. We weren't on the side of the Ganga and the Jamuna. We were on the other side. We went up to a place called Nainital, and then another place called Ranikhet. Nainital means nine lakes in the Himalayas. So in the Himalayas is a lake and there's resorts, well, Indian resorts. Then we went, it was so peaceful, my God, going up there. And then we ran out of books, and on the way down, you know, you go slower on the way down than up, I think. No, it was the other way around, but anyway. I just had to stop the book because, you know, my conception of the Himalayas is that they were just high, but they're vast ranges that go off into the distance. And just to see God's power and to feel your rightful position, anything that shakes us out of that egocentric conception that I'm in the world and everything revolves around me, which is the way we see through our eyes and our ego. What amazing sight, the Himalayas. So that's nice to see God's power. I felt great. Just anything that can crush this cloud of false ego that's covering the soul and preventing us from feeling the energetic connection between us and God and our eternal relationship, which is called prema, which is real happiness. Which is real happiness, anything that can make us feel that way. And that's why we sometimes suffer in the world. Not God's cruelty. He's trying to give himself to us. And to do that, he has to remove this false ego, which is our attachments. They were covered by our attachments. Our attachments separate from God. We have attachments. We have a body. We can use them in God's service. That's the beauty of karma yoga. You have an attachment. And the effect of the attachment is that there's no God, subtly. Because what it does is to be attached to something, you have to have the conception that it's separate from God. You have to have a sense of possessiveness. So when you offer things to God and you give charity, then by giving it to God, you start to see it as part of God. And that's the beginning process of purifying your consciousness in terms of karma yoga. Why these things are recommended as well, special for all of us, but especially traditionally for people who are in the grihastha ashram and they have to have their house and accumulate things. Dharma, responsibility, and charity. Why? Just to have some conception of fighting off this false ego that's covering the soul. We're so attached to it. And therefore, we're attached to the ignorance. And what is the ignorance? We're the center, and the things around us are ours. I recall going into Prabhupada's room. I recall going into Prabhupada's room, and there was such a sense that things were in his possession to serve God. It was very hard to be an illusion. To be in the center in his presence. So all these spiritual practices are meant to remove that covering. And when those attachments are taken, that's what pain is. Anyway, Advaita wants to see the universal form, which is a very interesting conception. It's described in different ways. But basically what it is, again, is seeing God's energy as his. Even though we perceive of that energy, our perception of the energy and the form of the energy is temporary, the energy is eternal. So sometimes by looking at nature, this is not my expertise. I sometimes joke. I'm camping. What is camping? I never went camping in my life. I'm so deprived. Seeing, I tell you that when I grew up, there's one book called A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, like it was a big event. But this contact with nature, when we were driving around yesterday with these Vaishnavas, and one of the Vaishnavas remarked that everyone is crowded in New York City, and you just go up here and it's like, first of all, it's mostly agriculturally zoned. There's just so much land. They're buying 55 acres for $400,000, and there's four houses on it. A little stream, and then a short walk to a beautiful lake. And in New York, you can't buy a closet for that. But anyway, just being in the nature and relating it to God, because the tendency is the exploitation. So this kind of meditation, or one type of meditation, because basically universal form is seeing God's material energy, but the forms of the material energy was temporary, but still ascribing them to God. So the form itself of the universal form is not eternal. The energy of God is eternal. So what you do is you see the rivers as God's veins, the mountains as his bones, the eyes and the moon and the sun as, so anything to get out of Maya. Maya means not this, illusion. And what is that illusion? That things are separate from God. So to see it that way and to act in that way, it removes that illusion. And therefore, in the Bhagavatam, the universal form is called the first step in God realization. But there's another way that God manifests this, the universal form to individuals, where he puts all his Aishvarya and opulence and material power in one place at one time. And it's very, very powerful. And what you also see is you see time. Time, I am the destroyer of the worlds, and I've come to engage all people. I always tell that story. I had my college roommate became a devotee, and he went, and then he came back, and he was dodging the draft. So he was going to see the draft guy or something to apply as a conscientious objector. So he stayed with me. And he was kind of like a very brilliant guy and a little bit eccentric. So I woke up and I had this alarm clock. I remember it's a little black alarm clock, and in the back it was kind of flat. I think you open the back and you can turn it or something. When I woke up, he had an adhesive tape where he wrote that verse on the back: "Time I am the destroyer of all worlds, and I've come to engage all people." And that's what time does. Time is also karma. Time view, it's Vishnu. Vishnu views our activities. And why does he move time? To create circumstances to purify our consciousness of the activities he's seen in us that were selfish, that we could not be corrected by just understanding them. We need to have an experience of them, not as the perpetrator of those activities, but as the victim of those activities, because in that position we can condemn them. And by condemning them, we can be rectifying our consciousness of our attachment to them. We exploit people, we don't see it's bad. The same thing when it comes to us, we see it's as bad. And therefore we see what's bad in ourselves. So Kala, he sees time and the temporary nature of this world and this body and the conception of enjoying controller, which is connected to this body. I think that's a joke. Why do we make God work so hard? Right? For every step we take towards God, he takes 1,000 towards us. So Arjuna wants to see, Advaita wants to see the same form that Arjuna saw, where God puts all his energy, material energy, in one place to demonstrate, because that's what power is. Power is the forms of the material energy and the power of those forms. Time, I am the destroyer. Time and tide wait for no man. Prabhupada told the story about the British king that was so powerful. He had the ego, let me stop the tide. I don't want to stop. Time and tide wait for no man. Can't stop it. It's absolute. As Advaita spoke these words, he saw a chariot surrounded by armies engaged on warfare on the battlefield. So he's seeing, I think, what Arjuna saw. He saw in the chariot a handsome blackish personality with four hands holding the conch shell, disc, club, and lotus. It seems he has like this vision of Krishna manifesting the universal form on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He then saw the Lord's universal form consisting of innumerable universes, moons, suns, oceans, mountains, rivers, and forests. Yeah, I had a meditation today or yesterday about God's power. And I couldn't conceive it. Because I told you this, the two options of reality are inconceivable because we have no experience of them. And one is something that's existing forever. Ever. God is always existing. Well, how long is that? There's no time limit. As far as you go back, it goes back further. And why? Why? How do you explain that there's something that's always there that's God? But the other option of explaining something coming from nothing that's all powerful, because whatever is creating this world is all powerful, that's also inconceivable. But by the evidence, we can determine the origin or cause of the crime of the material world. The evidence is there. It's so clear. You can't deny God. If you're honest, you can't deny God. The complexity of this world is just so, I don't want to go into all these arguments, but this world isn't, it's impossible that this world happened by chance. And the longer that we go on, every sentence I describe this, I'll go, every sentence I make that makes sense, and you and everything that you do that makes sense, each person's single act increases the improbability that this world happened by chance. Because it just keeps on reforming into sense and order, and it constantly does it, and it constantly increases the improbability that happens by chance. You know, let's say you take a bunch of sticks in the air and you throw it out up in the air and it comes down as a house. What's the chance of that? And then throw the next stick in. You throw the next sticks in, it makes another house. What's the chance? Even more improbable. And then you throw another few sticks in it and it makes a garden. It's even more improbable. So everything that happens by order increases exponentially the improbability this world has by chance. My class is increasing exponentially the improbability this world is having by chance. Because if it's chance, why is it coming out logical in order? If it's chance, then maybe the next word by chance would be something else. So he's seeing all that incredible power. He saw millions of eyes, arms, and faces. He also saw Arjuna offering prayers before the Lord. Great fires emanated from the mouth of that universal form and burned the atheist and miscreants who enters those fires like moths. Atheist and miscreants. You're doomed. Because atheist and miscreants means to identify with the material body, which is temporary. The more you are atheistic and the more you are miscreant, the more you're destroyed. Because the more you're identifying with the thing that will be destroyed. Any sinful person who blasphemies or tortures others is burned to ashes in the fire emanating from Lord Chaitanya's mouth. And in the purport, it's described that's his kirtan. That's what's finished. Material consciousness is finished by kirtan. The universal form of the Supreme Personality of God had manifest. No others. Well, let me read what it says in the purport. As fire is capable of burning, destroying, and melting all objects, along with the object's contamination, the mental weakness and bodily contamination in the form of the wild dancing of sinful people who, out of aversion to the Supreme Lord, envy and blaspheme exalted devotees, are burnt to ashes by the fire of lively, fully cognizant kirtan performed by the devotees who have received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Advaita, no others have the power to see this form of the Lord. Advaita Acharya was able to see it by the mercy of the Lord. So it's an inconceivable thing, all material energy in one place. It has to be revealed. We described, this is what Gail, who's wrote in my Vyas Puja, all the defects of perception we have by our attention and by our attitude. Advaita cried in ecstatic love out of intense attachment. Taking straw between his teeth, he repeatedly begged the Lord for service. That's so nice. When you realize the Supreme Lord and are happy about that, you start to feel ecstatic love, which is a form of humility. Love is humility because it is recommending, it is acknowledging an object that's worthy to be served and therefore superior to one. Taking a straw between his, he repeatedly begged for service. Bhakti is best expressed by service, which is loving responsiveness to the Lord through the faculties of the mind, body, and words. Meanwhile, Nityananda was wandering through Nadia in great ecstasy. So again, this is the description of Nityananda. He's on the highest platform of devotion. And psychologically, overcome by it. Now, I don't know how this is an exact correlation, but in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it describes that there are different psychologies. There are different psychologies of love. Different types of personality. Just, I think the analogy is not there, but when I heard, maybe I don't know where, but different shapes of metal put in fire become the same. They all become fire. They become heat and light. They retain their shape, but they're the same. They become they become fire. But the shape may differ. It's the same thing about the mind of advanced devotees. Described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, I have to look at it again, but I remember one mind is called the pebble in the pond. And there are some pure devotees that they're constantly showing their ecstasy. Any little thing becomes manifest externally. I remember Krishnadas Babaji, this was He once came to the Krishna Balaram Mandir, and it was the summer, and in the courtyard, the Gurukul boys were doing a Ras Lila, and there were two beautiful boys, very beautiful, that were picked for Radha and Krishna. And there was this drama going on. So Krishnadas Babaji came and we gave him a Vyasasan to sit on. He was very humble. So when he sat on the Vyasasan, and through the whole drama, he was just laughing. Hey, Krishna, hey, Krishna, Krishna. Oh, he was just laughing, enjoying. And some are like the volcano in the ocean. Even if something's very powerful, it may not be seen. But Advaita, he's overcome with his ecstasy, so he's wandering. There's no other objective than his ecstasy, so where are you going? There's no other objective than the ecstasy, so he has it. And maybe wanting to spread Krishna consciousness, so he's just wandering. Since Nityananda knows all the Lord's manifestations, he understood that the Lord was displaying his universal form. He quickly came to Srivas's house where the Lord was and roared loudly outside the temple door. Realizing that Nityananda had arrived, Vishvambar quickly opened the door. As Nityananda saw the Lord's form consisting of innumerable universes, he closed his eyes and fell to the ground, offering obeisances. Of course, on a very high platform of devotion, even seeing the Lord's opulences doesn't cover your relationship with him. But it becomes, oh, my son is great, my friend is great, my lover is great. You still maintain that particular relationship. The Lord said, get up, Nityananda. You are my life and soul. You know everything. I certainly belong to one who loves me, for no one is more dear to me than you. Anyone who distinguishes between you and Advaita does not properly know the intricacies of the incarnation. So again, the followers of Advaita did not want to accept Lord Nityananda, some of them. And this was a big thing for Vrindavan Das Thakur. So he's very happy when in the pastimes, Nityananda's position comes out. Looking at that form of Vishvambar, Nityananda and Advaita began to dance in ecstasy within the temple room. The son of Sachi roared loudly and repeatedly exclaimed, look, look, Hankara Garjana Kari Shri Sachi Nandana Deka Deka Kari Prabhu Daki Gana Gana Prabhu Prabhu Bali Stuti Kari Dvijana Vishwarupta Kiya Ananda Mayaman. The two Prabhus offered prayers and exclaimed, Prabhu, Prabhu, meaning master. Their minds were filled with ecstasy on seeing the universal form of the Lord. These pastimes took place in the house of Srivas, yet no one else had the power to see them. I don't know if I'd explain that point, but again, it's not just eyes. It's attitude, it's attention, and it's revelation. These topics came directly from the lotus mouth of Advaita. One who does not accept them is certainly miscreant. So he's basically now speaking to the people who don't accept Lord Nityananda, and he's saying, I got this pastime from Advaita. One who does not glorify Gaurachand as the Lord of all is a perpetual sinner unfit to be seen by the Vaishnavas. Sri Gaurasundar is the Lord of my Lord. I maintain this conviction within my heart. Such pastimes are enacted in Navadvip, Yet no one other than the devotees knew of them. Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dan, bhakti a Krishna nam smarana kridhan. Boy, I'm going to chant that verse again. Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dan, bhakti a Krishna nam smarana kridhan. Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dan, bhakti a Krishna nam smarana kridhan. Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dan, bhakti a Krishna nam smarana kridhan. Devotional service, devotional service, devotional service is the greatest treasure. Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dan. Devotional service means crying while remembering Krishna's names. Bhakti a Krishna nam smarana kridam. I'll read the purport. The first bhakti in the phrase bhakti yoga refers to sambandha gyan, the relationship with God. The second bhakti yoga is written to indicate abhideya, the activities in that relationship. And the third bhakti was written to indicate piyojana, the goal of life. Devotional service manifests in a heart that has been melted by hearing, chanting, and remembering. If one's heart is hardened by false arguments or filled with the desire to control, then the propensity for devotional service does not appear. Non-devotional activities manifest perversions in the soul's constitutional characteristics. Non-devotional activities manifest perversions in the soul's constitutional characteristics. The pure name of Krishna manifests when one cries while chanting the name of Krishna. Wealth and high birth are useless if one does not worship Krishna. Wow. I'm going to read these purports now. Without the service of Krishna, high birth with ample material prestige and various opulence are simply insignificant. When a prideless person repeatedly calls out the name of Krishna with a melted heart and realizes that the name of Krishna and Krishna are non-different, he attains the eternal service of the holy name. Persons afflicted by false arguments and false ego who cry out of material distress do not attain devotional service. Rather, inclination for the service of the Supreme Lord manifests only in the melted hearts of prideless persons. The crying out of distress born out of dominating the material world or losing such domination is not intended here. Rather, it is to be understood that such ecstatic crying results from crying from eternal happiness. Dui takoreya vishwarupa darsana ihaye shune tare mile Krishna dan. Anyone who hears the topics concerning the two Lords' darshans of the universal form attains the treasure of Krishna. So we kind of, that's kind of a good way to end. Anyone like to share any reflections they got from today's class?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Jamuna Jaya, Hare Krishna.
Thank you. I'm going to have to listen to this class again because there were so many things you said. I couldn't write fast enough today. So thank you. But I love the concept about the revelation. It's more than just the eyes. It's the attitudes. You can see, but you don't see. I love that point so much.
Pashyati na pashyati, it's called. Pashyati I see, na pashyati I don't see. Deha pachakalita deshu atmasan yesh vasatsvapi tesham pramata nidanam na pashyati na pashyati. Boy, because I'm chanting more, my memory's got better. I'm remembering verses I forgot years ago. Deha patya kalitra deshu, one who thinks that, you know, my family, my nation, my house, my home, these things will save us from death is very, very foolish. because it has never happened in the history of the world. My father has died. My father's father has died. But Tesham Pramutta, but our madness is we don't see that. Pashyati Napashyati. We don't see that. We see that where this is like my eternal body identity. This is my eternal house. This is my eternal this. This is my eternal. Okay, thank you, Jamuna Jaya. I always appreciate that you get things going. I know at least there'll be one person that. Okay, anybody else have a reflection?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj, it's Sri Rupa.
Yeah, Sri Rupa, yeah.
I just wanted to say, when you said what you give to God, you start to see as part of God. That was super sweet, and it really made my heart feel warm.
Well, I have to say it again for me.
Sorry, I'm at work. It's a little noisy. You give to God, you start to see as part of God.
Oh, right, right. When you give to God, you see things as part of God. Yeah. So important to give charity and to take responsibility. Good. Thank you, Sri Rupa. Good. And from work. That's cool. Wow. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. A few people like to say hello. It gives us our sense.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Yeah, I really appreciate it. You're fleshing out a little bit more the fact that, you know, every time you say another sentence that makes sense, you know, that disproves the notion that, you know, this world can just appear out of, you know, nothing or haphazardly.
Haphazardly.
You know.
And it's, I mean, you've said it before, everything that's happening in order increases it exponentially. So it's just, you know, if someone thought, hey, no, this happened by chance, right? Okay, what about now? It still happened by chance? And now it's still by chance? Okay, thank you, Gail.
Yeah.
I got a nice letter by Joseph.
Uh-huh.
And just by coincidence, that same day, someone else sent me a Rodney Dangerfield joke. So I'll be able to share that with him. Wait. Well, I want to.
It was also by coincidence that I wrote you on that same day. That was total coincidence.
Okay, let me tell you the two. Okay, this is one. I get no respect. Whenever I get in the elevator, the operator asks me, basement? And then here's
He did homework for that, by the way.
wait. And then someone else told me that. I went to the psychiatrist. I said, no one pays attention to me. He said, next.
I'll pass that one on.
Oh, no, don't pass it. I'm going to send it to him in response.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I get no respect. I'll say it again. I went to the psychiatrist. I said, no one pays attention to me. He said, next. Okay. Okay, wait, where are we? I've lost the crowd. Are you still there, everybody, somehow? Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here.
Oh, pray, Tota Gopinath. I got it. Okay. Tota, Haribo.
Hare Krishna.
Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh.
Thank you very much.
Thank
for
you for this class. Thank you.
Great. It's so nice, right? We get to see each other 2-3 times a week, right?
It's really marvelous.
So even, you know, we don't have that Vrindavan, at least, you know, which I used to wait, but now we get that connection. That's great.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Haribo, Maharaj, it's Joel Kaley.
Joel Kaley, Haribo.
Greetings from Brooklyn.
Huh?
Hare Krishna, it's Karuna Parnas.
Okay.
Greetings from Brooklyn too.
Haribo. Nice to hear from you, Karuna. Haribo.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev, Bhagavinda.
Hare Krishna.
Wow. Greetings to Tom's River. Okay, Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Brooklyn as well. It's Akiko.
Akiko. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Okay.
Thank Good. You.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Lila Vrindavan. Greetings from Cuenca, Ecuador.
From Ecuador, okay. Great. So nice that we can all still stay connected by this technology. Mm-hmm. Of course, if it was a more advanced world, we'd all be living in the same village. So it's kind of like Prabhupada said, when you get a thorn, you use another thorn to pull it out. But it's cool. It's good. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Hemala Tarrada.
Oh, is that your new land?
Yes. And this is the vegetable garden. I don't know if you can.
Is this in your backyard or the other piece you were going to buy?
No, this is the backyard.
Okay. What do you got growing there?
We have lettuce of two kinds, kale of three different kinds. Broccoli, cauliflower, Swiss chard. Then on the back there, we have, how do you call it? Oh my God, I forgot. Well, we have celery, carrots, and that red root. I can't remember the name. Oh, beets. That's it. Arugula. And Now we have here some green beans.
Okay. Tell Sebastian. That when I come, I want him to see if he can grow some acorn squash.
Oh, yes, we have the seeds already. Now it's the time to start planting them. So we will. That's yes, Maharaj, great. We will have some for you.
Oh, okay, that's great.
Wonderful. Thank you, Maharaj. Thanks for
okay,
class.
Okay, Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Okay, anybody else want to say hello?
Hey, Krishna Guru Maharaj. This is Jagannath Bhatia. Greetings from Vrindavan.
Wow. From the Russian building?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Good. Nice to see that you could attend the Vyas Puja by the Zoom.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Krishna Premi.
You just can't get out of Mayapur. It's amazing.
But we just got the news that the foreigners with the family reunion visa can go back to China. So we probably will plan for that soon.
They said that you can, who can go back?
Like Donald Trump probably has the family reunion visa. Now he's allowed to go to China. It's just the news from today.
Oh, Radhachuran got the visa.
He has the visa, but he can't enter China until maybe from today. There's the news from the government that foreigners with family reunion visa can go back to China. So we will probably...
Will he be able to go back because he's not born in China?
Before he couldn't because of the coronavirus, all the foreign visas were canceled.
Now he can go.
Yeah, logically speaking, but I'm not sure. There's only one flight a week, so we'll have to check out.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that you have to leave Mayapur.
Yeah, I'm already missing Mayapur.
Okay. Good. Hari Bo. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we're going to end for now. I also, because I just press on the participants, so I see all the people that are there. So it's not absolutely necessary that you have to click and say something for me to see you there. But for me, in speaking, it's so good to have a sense of audience. Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare